Hi there, this is Sophie G. Hawkins, and you are listening to Positive Psychology of Pop Music. That old dog has changed you
up all right. Hello there, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, the podcast and radio show filled with moving music and inspiring messages from your favorite artists. I've been lucky enough to talk to some truly inspiring people over the years, but the interview I'm sharing this week will easily go down as one of the most profound conversations I have ever had. If you've heard the music of Sophie B. Hawkins, you know she's one of the most talented singer-songwriters of our generation. But I have no doubt that hearing what she had to say about the limitless potential of love, the importance of mindfulness and introspection, and the intricate connectedness we all share with each other will inspire you as much as it did me. Before we celebrate the beautiful and inspiring spirit that is Sophie B. Hawkins, allow me to take a moment to share and reflect on my favorite Sophie B. Hawkins track, and one of my favorite songs of all time. With what I honestly think is the most sensual pop song I have ever heard, this is Sophie B. Hawkins with Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover. Hi, Sophie, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, me too. Thank you for taking the time.
Well, I have to say thank you, first of all. I was a very sheltered child, and Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover was the first time I ever let myself say a swear word because I love that song so much. Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover is just one of the most sensual songs I've ever heard, and I still hear that from people today. So I was wondering what your thoughts were on it, you know, 20 years later.
I agree with you. I think it's a very deep, emotional, romantic, passionate, gentle, strong. It's an amazing song. It's not one. A lot of songs have, you know, sort of one or two layers. I think it's got many, many layers. And that's what people love about it also. It can speak to you on different levels.
I actually feel the same way about As I Lay Me Down, which is a very sweet song, but with all those different layers. So what inspired that track?
Well, see, that's the thing. So I'm not sure exactly if I could say what was the inspiration. I could probably say what was the trigger.
Okay.
The trigger would probably make no sense to you because the trigger would be something that happened in my life. But then it brought out this incredibly universal yet personal song. And that's the key to art, actually, is that you make it so personal, yet it's not boring and it's not like a journal. And the thing that triggered it certainly wasn't even a deep relationship. It was just a comment somebody made. In fact, the comment is in the verse. Things you said to make me feel all right, I carried them with me today. That's what triggered the whole song. Somebody saying something really positive and affirming to me, and it came out.
That was Sophie B. Hawkins with one of the biggest songs of 1995, As I Lay Me Down. My favorite thing about that track, and all of Sophie's music, is the universal appeal it has to anyone who hears it. Her songs can so often apply to any type of love, regardless of gender or sexuality, and I was so excited to hear her thoughts on the power of music to help us break down artificial barriers and to help us live free and meaningful lives.
I love how you took something so specific and made it universal. I've always loved the way you write and sing about love because it is universal and it's relatable to any type of relationship, any gender. And I love what you've had to say about, you know, not being tied to gender in terms of love in the past. So I wanted to know what you think we can do as a society to kind of get past all these binary concepts when love and relationships are so much more layered than that.
Yeah, that's a great question. It just gave me chills because we really do imprison ourselves with these thoughts, and yet then someone comes around with a freeing thought, a new thought, like a new friend. I think like thoughts are thoughts can, you can have a thought and it can be like a new friend walked into your life. You know, somebody can have a freeing thought and then everyone goes, I've been waiting for that.
Welcome back to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, where this week we're spotlighting the incredible music and inspiring spirit of Sophie B. Hawkins. We just heard Live and Let Love, a song that reminded me so much of what Sophie had to say about the need to allow ourselves to love freely and without limit, and to be open to all of the knowledge and wisdom that new experiences can bring. Those words were some of the most inspiring I've ever had the privilege to share on this show, but brace yourself, because we're only just getting started on this Sophie B. Hawkins train of wisdom. As our conversation continued with regard to the false facade of labels and barriers, Sophie reminded me, and I hope all of you, of the need to embrace all of our feelings and emotions, to explore the negative ones, to embrace the positive ones, and in one of my favorite interview quotes of all time, to live life as a love song to ourselves.
Well, I have to say too, you know, as a gay man, just thank you for all of your activism, because your music has inspired people, but so has the efforts that you've put forth. We still have to remember that it could be so much worse. So why do you think it's so important to maintain that positivity?
Negativity will cause you to be sick. And negativity is easy, and positivity takes work, but you need them both. And it's like you just said, binary. I think there's more than negativity and positivity. But the basic thing is, when you have a negative thought, or strong judgment against yourself, or a feeling of disgust, or a feeling that you're not good enough, or somebody else is better than you, those are the key to playing with your mind. You've got to play with your mind like you're playing with a toy. And try to, you know, like a Rubik's Cube, twist it around, open up, find new codes in your own mind, because there's nothing more interesting to a human being than their own mind. And that's when, you know, about the love songs too. I was thinking this morning that I wanted to write, for the rest of my life, I wanted to make my life a love song to myself. Mm. And that maybe I am the one that I'm pursuing. I am the one that I'm after. I am the one I want to impress. I am the one. And I smiled at that thought, because I think that when you get to that place, or it's not getting to that place, when you can, like, sort of like you're a bird and you dip into the water, when you can dip into these places that give you new feelings and new thoughts about yourself, then you're going to open up and get past, like we just talked about, the binary, the negative, the positive, the male, the female, because none of those things ultimately matter. By the way, some of the deepest relationships and friendships over time in the history of art are not even sexual. And I think the Greeks made a big deal about that, you know, the teacher-student relationship, for instance. You're following me, right?
Absolutely. No, I'm totally on board.
Yeah. So basically, I think that my short answer to, as a society, is to use the negativity and the hate and the disgust and the jealousy, all that, to use that to quietly go into your mind. How can you make yourself feel better? How can you play with those thoughts to get to a place where you feel better about yourself? And lo and behold, your life will start changing. And that's what I have found.
Yeah, I love that so much, because I think, you know, we're all born with our specific things, and we all have our own insecurities and our own demons, if you will. And then in another blog that you've written, you described art as an honest search for truth. And so for people like me who have no musical talent whatsoever, the music and the art that you create allows us to see things in ourselves that we can then explore. So how does it feel to be a part of just that never-ending impact on people?
Well, I mean, I'm grateful that you said I still have an impact. And it feels good, because I always felt that that's what I wanted to be a part of. You know, when I was little and I didn't know what I wanted to be, and I heard Bob Dylan singing this, you know, the album Positively 4th Street. And I remember walking down the street alone in New York City and thinking, I am that. And that equals the song. It equals the music, the lyrics. It equals the color. It equals the harmonica tone. I didn't know what it was to separate everything, because I was a child. And when you're a child, things aren't separate. You know, the shadow isn't separate from the light. You know, your mother isn't separate from your father. You're not even separate from them. And that's why this whole thing we're talking about gender separation, and it doesn't make sense, because in the truest, most creative minds, things aren't really separate. Mm. They're more, they mix back and forth. And so anyways, when you say that I still have an impact, it means that I'm still part of that, quote unquote, that thing that moved me so much that I wanted to be in, and I didn't know how to be in it. I got into it somehow, and I'm still remaining as an active player in this play. It's playing. It's playing with thoughts and ideas and playing with colors and tones and playing with gender and playing with, you know, everything.
You just heard Positively 4th Street from Bob Dylan, a track that had a major impact on the artists we're spotlighting on this week's episode of The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, the incredible Sophie B. Hawkins. To find out more about Sophie's own inspiring tracks, as well as stay up to date on all of her upcoming music and shows, make sure you check out sophiebhawkins.com. We've got more great music from Sophie on the way, but we're not quite done with her own musical inspirations just yet. There were three more artists that heavily influenced Sophie's life, and before we check out my favorite song from each of them, let's hear what Sophie herself had to say about the impact they had on her life.
You mentioned Bob Dylan, and I did want to know who else had inspired you throughout your life.
Well, definitely him, because, like, again, his thatness, the thing that I can't really describe that works so well with him. And the Beatles have to have had a great impact on me because we listened to them all the time as kids. Even though it wasn't quite our generation, my parents loved those records, and they played them and played them and played them and played them. And then also Harry Nilsson. I don't know if you know him. Anita O'Day. My father loved Anita O'Day. These were my parents' people, and us as kids, we really loved them.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
I say goodbye to all my sorrow, and by tomorrow I'll be on my way. I guess the Lord must be in New York City.
Heal me a grave. What of the seedless kind?
Welcome back to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music. You just heard my favorite tracks from three artists that have heavily inspired Sophie B. Hawkins, the Beatles with Let It Be, Harry Nilsson with I Guess the Lord Must Be in New York City, and Anita O'Day with Peel Me a Grape. While those are three very different songs, what binds them together in my mind is the way that each of the artists tell a story not just with their words, but with the emotion they put into every note they sing. And when I think of amazing musical storytellers who excel in that area, I certainly think of Sophie B. Hawkins as well. She's created so many beautiful emotional narratives with her music over the years, and the touching song I'm about to play for you is one of my absolute favorites. This is Sophie B. Hawkins with Miles Away.
Father, she's playing a song, but I don't want to dance tonight. You have just slipped away, and I'm caught inside the cage.
I just love thinking about the things that created those loves in our parents and how that creates love, and everything is just so interconnected. And that kind of relates to one of my favorite songs from you, which is The Land, the Sea, and the Sky.
Oh, you know, I love that too, and that came out so, like, when you said something about my activism before, I wasn't aware of being an activist when I wrote that song, but when I think about it, there is the key to why I would be an activist, because I couldn't even believe when those lyrics came out, because they taught me. They showed me how much I am so connected to nature and to this earth, so connected to all the people who are raising their children on the land with respect to all the powers of nature, like the early American Indians and every indigenous person. I really relate, and that you can have all the money in the world and you can have all the prestige in the world, but it won't replace the most amazing feeling of being connected.
To you, with, you know, that feeling of connection comes to me through music. And I know you have a new album on the way, which I'm so excited about. What type of journeys is that going to take us on?
Well, I think this album, you know, it brings out for sure my gentle side, which is an As I Lay Me Down. It's actually in Damn too. I can do the rocking thing, but it, my whole nature is to come from a much more gentle place. So this new album, it has incredible music and strings and orchestration, and the lyrics, I really love them. I think you're going to love it.
This has been one of my favorite interviews ever. I just love how much wisdom that you're able to express. So thank you very much.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. I loved our talk as well.
I cannot wait to hear brand new music from Sophie B. Hawkins, and I hope you'll join me in keeping a frequent eye on sophiebhawkins.com to check out all of her new material. I'll also be sharing information on her new album at thepositivepsychologyofpopmusic.com, where you can check out more exclusive interviews and music from other inspiring artists like Sophie. New episodes drop at the site and on iTunes every Wednesday, and in the coming weeks, I'm excited to share my interviews with The Weepies, Paula Cole, and so many other talented artists. We're not done with Sophie just yet, though. And before I play one final track, I want to thank Sophie for truly inspiring me through her music and our conversation, and dedicate one last song to her and to each of you. Sophie's message of living life like a love song to ourselves will hopefully stick with me for some time. I realize as an adult that I have often placed too much emphasis on finding a romantic partner to fill the spaces and holes I needed to fill within myself. So I'll be closing the show with the Sophie song that used to make me envision my fairy tale prince, but that now encourages me to be my own. I hope you love it as much as I do, and I want to thank each of you again for tuning into this week's episode. For the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, I'm Wesley Ryan, and with Only Love, the Ballad of Sleeping Beauty, this is Sophie B. Hawkins.
Only love. Only love can testify.